Underquoting, overquoting, and bully tactics. I'm sure you've seen all in the news headlines. Today we're going to work out what they actually mean, are there going to be changes, and what happens next.
Welcome to the Sydney Property Muppets podcast. My name is Kurt Lawther. I'm the real estate agent, and with me forever is...
Chris Clark, the buyer's agent.
The beautiful buyer's agent, the one and only. Chris, it's that time of the night.
With a crack open a frothy. This is our fourth episode in a row, as we say we did four in a row. Make sure the mic picked up.
Cheers, big man.
Right, well, why are we having a beer?
Quick question. Why are we opening a beer? I like to call people big man, which is a sign of status, stature. I only recently found out some people find that insulting, like I'm calling them fat.
Yeah, I assume that. Okay. You will have seen recently, it's always been around, but particularly of late, really big focus in the press about focusing in on underquoting, probably mostly, bully tactics, and a bit of overquoting. Underquoting, quite simple to explain, where the vibe is particular agents are really lowballing the guide price to attract interest, which makes sense, but they're really dropping it to a level that's, you know, unpalpable. Bullying tactics, what, how would you describe that?
Bullying tactics is where a agent, in regarding the selling, may pressure the vendor to be like, if you don't sign the agency agreement, you're never going to find a bit, like, just really harp on. Or consistently...
Maybe if you don't take this offer, we're not going to get a better offer.
Like, yeah, is... or the even harassment of just constant messaging and calls. And
what about overquoting? How would you describe that?
Overquoting is where you have deliberately overpromised a price when it's just there's no evidence to back that up.
Yeah. I had one, I was saying before, off camera, I had one recently that we got introduced to an off-market property. We're told absolutely the vendor will only accept $7 million for the property. That's it, which is obviously big, you know, really big in the town. We didn't see value, didn't believe it was going to go for that level. That agent did a lot of work trying to sell that property off market, but at that level, they then lost the listing, went to another agent, and sold for about $500,000 less than that later. Which, in a way, good for the second agent. The first agent done all the hard work,
yep.
But also bad. The agent may have agreed to $7 million just to get the listing, but it was overquoting.
Yeah, whether that one is punishable, and I say this on the agency agreement, and we've had this discussion before, there is a part where the principal, so the seller, instructs the agent to market the property at this. However, there is a box very close by that says the agent believes a reasonable selling value is here.
Yeah.
So the agent could be like, look, we think it's worth $6 to $6.6 million, but the principal... The seller instructs the agent to sell it at $7 million.
To market at $7 million, yeah.
So they're
hamstrung. Okay, so the bigger question, I think, that I really wanted to focus on is how or what is this going to change? All this media beat up, all this focus, all these articles, all the specific agents being called out, what's going to change?
Have you seen The Big Short?
I have seen The Big Short, yeah.
You know, at the end of the movie, when like the system's crumbling and the movie goes on to be like, well, this... encouraged all these changes, this change, this penalty, this person was done, this organization, and it's like none of that happened. One person got set up.
Well, and also it then says, and 5 years later, there were literally, I think they're called CDCs, there was something else built that was basically identical to CDCs, whatever they were called. Yeah.
Triple A rated lines.
Yeah, different. Called something else and repackaged together. So what's your answer there? You mean,
long story short, nothing will change.
I agree. I think... there's been a lot of this beat up over the last 20 years. I do think it's valid, but legislation isn't going to change. The underlying behavior is not going to change.
The only way I can see things actually changing is if Fair Trading have enough officers literally on a 1 to 2 week basis to be going into every office.
Yeah, well, there's that way. I think if legislation changed, if the penalties were $20 million, to be found, I think people would change the behavior. At the moment, the penalties are usually the penalties, not all, but are usually like 10% of the commission fee.
It's actually, the penalties are actually quite severe. The issue, what you'll find is it'll either be, if it is a very boutique or agency that hasn't got much banking, they'll basically be gone bust. Or if it happens to a big agency, they've got the funding to pay it off.
Yeah, I agree there are some benefits going on. I do think the issues and fines we see handed out are quite pittance.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Yeah.
Not all. Okay, so nothing's going to change. So, okay, well, then we're dire, the world's ending. What's the point? What's the point of this episode?
The point of this episode is it's actually in you, the viewer. It is in your control. And when I mean not just in your control, you having a chance to affect your friends, your family, anyone that you know on how to actually make sure you don't get stung, you don't get burnt in the real estate industry.
So we're trying to empower those people, one, by just by talking it through.
Perfect.
What are some things they could be doing to avoid scenarios of getting locked into a scenario, locked in with somebody that they find these characteristics?
Okay. In all things being square, you are in control of putting your pen to the paper.
Yep.
Is that if you're the buyer, you do not have to sign that contract. Okay. If you are the seller, you do not have to sign the agency agreement or the contract.
Yep.
Now, there are certain circumstances where you might be, you might have bought a property and you literally, you have to take whatever
offers come. You're selling for loss or something, yep.
If you are a seller, for example, and an agent is harassing you or an agent is really talking negative about other agents, then, for example, I would be avoiding that agent. If you are a buyer and you know an agent's properties usually go well above, it's like, okay, when analyzing properties, you need to analyze it. What is this property realistically going to go for or might go for?
Yep.
All things being equal, without emotions playing a role.
Yep.
Chris, I was going to say, yeah, how from a buyer's agent's perspective, because you guys are quite a new industry, but do you feel that buyer's agents and they've become some bad eggs?
Yeah, we're susceptible to this as real estate agents, and also a lot of buyer's agents are ex-real estate agents, so if they've learned bad practices, they're going to carry them over. I would say one of the best things you can do to protect yourself is make sure whether you're engaging a buyer's agent or a real estate agent or even a mortgage broker or whoever, it's going to be gain a referral. Ask a friend or family, and in particular with a selling agent, find a property that sold recently and see the agent did it. And the seller may have moved away, so you can't talk to them. But potentially the buyer might be in your neighborhood. You might be able to approach them or find out if they had a good result or bad result and what their experience was. That might be enough.
I was going to say, the thing when asking for a referral, don't just ask and accept, oh, this is a really good person. Like, ask the person why they were...
What was it about them?
Yeah, what did they do? What moved you? What was the sort of the why?
Yeah.
The feeling that maybe not just the numbers and figures, what was the reasoning?
I think also gain, particularly again on the selling and on a buyer's agent side, you should be doing this. Gain the contact details of two or three recommendations of agents that you should be speaking to. Now, you end up might have, you know, a longer dialogue with the person that you meet all three, you have a discussion with all three, and you feel there's a better connection with one, you may then have a longer dialogue. But I think by diversifying and having two to three different contacts, that's a real estate agent because you're approaching to sell or buyer's agent looking to buy, you should then gain, hopefully, a sense of which one you feel more connected with or you feel like is on a similar mindset to you. Is it completely going to mean you're not going to get bullied or undergo all these bad practices? No, but it will protect you to some degree. It will improve reduce the risk.
Yep.
So further to that, if you're by yourself, so you're either buying a property by yourself or you're selling by yourself, maybe you're not the most confident of individuals, right? So there are those out there, and this may resonate with you. Find a friend, a family member, someone who can be with you at least for the initial part of determining who you're going to use. The reason for that is most of the scenarios we talk about where this bullying does occur, and we'll focus more on that, is historically been where they're dealing with one person who's selling, they find them vulnerable, and they're exploiting them. But if you have somebody else with you, it definitely is going to reduce that opportunity for that person to exploit you because there's going to be someone else there. Two people are always, you know, harder to convince or harder to influence or harder to push than one.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Chris, another thing that people could potentially do is also just doing a quick search on the internet to see if there's any bad articles about the person. Now, they may not be true or they may be beaten up, but getting a really good idea that you're about to make millions of dollars decision whether you're the buyer, the seller, on the agent.
So type in the agent's name, first, last, maybe put then real estate agent or put the company they work for, and on Google and click news as a search function instead of just purely just, you know, Google search. And it should bring up articles. If there's been any articles, positive or negative, the last 4 to 5 years, it should highlight those to you.
Yep. And another thing is if you're at an open home, you can be you don't have to fraternize with the enemy, but you can be quite friendly and ask, oh, you know, have you dealt with this agent before? Like, just asking, being like, what's the experience? I think from both a buying and selling perspective, you can get a really good gauge of someone actually at an open home. Are they attentive?
Yep.
Do they care? What are the callbacks like? That's why I think before you go to sell, just go through open homes.
Go through it. Yeah.
And see what the experience is like getting the callback. Show some interest. You don't have to go all the way that saying you're going to put an offer and be like, oh, actually, you know, quite like this, and sort of see the feedback you're going to get and how would you feel as a vendor, how the agent was actually speaking to you.
Main through our process. Yeah. Okay, good. So hopefully this episode for you, if you're watching, is just providing some protection measures.
Chris, I got one more actually.
Oh, please go on.
Because I have been a little bit selfish on the seller side, but I think from a buyer's perspective, if you're looking at using a buyer's agent, I definitely think trying to make sure you come up with questions on what is their experience, who have they worked for before, what are the different strategies, what are the different scenarios. Now, obviously, you might be new to this, so you might not be aware of all the questions you could ask, but don't just stop. Really try and put some questions in there, or ask ChatGPT what are some really great questions to ask a buyer's agent or a selling agent, a conveyancer, a mortgage broker, instead of just blindly using them.
I think one of the best questions you can ask for a buyer's agent, if they're in a particular area, is can you provide me properties that you've purchased? It may not be identical, because you might be buying a two-bedroom apartment and they more recently
and
in your area
purchased. And the agent you bought it from.
Yeah, no, but yeah. But they may have recently purchased a three-bedroom nearby. So it may not be identical, but at least show you the proof of purchase that they are literally purchasing in the area you're looking to buy, rather than just saying, because a lot of people talk and there's a difference between talking and actual results.
Exactly.
Very good. Okay. Happy with that?
I'm happy with that.
All right.
Are you happy?
On you now. You got some questions for me? You were having a chuckle when you wrote these earlier on.
Mate, I certainly do. We're back to the three quick cues, Chris. And I absolutely love this. If you're a long-time listener of the show, you would
welcome. Long-term listener. Good to have you.
We used to do three quick cues. Generally, they're related to property. This time, it's not. But there's no excuses. Chris has to try and answer as succinctly as possible.
Thanks, buddy. Thanks.
And he's going to find this really tough.
Okay, go for it.
One.
Yeah.
Who are you?
I'm a good person.
Two. Why are you here?
To put a smile on a whole bunch of people's faces.
Three. What are your core values that will help you live a meaningful existence?
I believe the old practice, do unto others as you want to be done to you, with the exception of appreciate that there are dickheads out there. Be good to your mother, be good to your family.
I like it.
I think that's about all.
Yeah.
Meditation. I do a lot of meditation. I know it's not a value, but I do believe heavily in time of self-reflection and time of self-healing is a good thing.
I like it, Chris. Very good. A little bit about Chris.
It's different. Those are very different questions from anyone you've asked before. A bit of homework. Really appreciate a share of this episode. So, you know, click the button on where you are. You can easily share it via text message. Think of that one person who's looking to buy or sell in the near future. Just say to them, I think you might enjoy this.
Imagine you got a loved one and you don't want them making a terrible mistake.
True.
I think this is a perfect episode for just some things for them to watch out and how it can help.
Some tips. Thanks for dropping by.
Like it.